You guys head off that way.
Oh
And
man, we
sorry.
definitely don't have any way to turn off the power from any of the panels inside of this
Right.
facility, do we?
Yeah.
Dang it! Oh, it would have been so great to like turn off the power there and then turn power up on the swan song and then have all the flesh-eating devices go over and eat those three guys. Damn. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could. The thing is, you could maybe turn the reactors on the Swan Song up high enough to like overpower the signal from the generator, but that there's a risk there too.
As we walk towards the Swan Song, is there any cover or anything?
Yeah.
There's the tower itself. Otherwise, it's pretty flat. It's pretty barren.
Okay.
Wasn't
Kind of
there that calm tower
rocky bluffs. Yep.
in between? That's what you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah,
Say,
there is that.
gentlemen, stay behind me. I'll take point, but fan out a little bit, and if things start going dicey, I expect you to back me up.
Of course.
Well,
Yep.
I gotta. Yeah, you want to just roll this grenade
Just fucking
underneath them?
do it.
Then I just I put my what is it even fucking called? Plasma projector across my chest and just kind of march forward at military awareness.
Is there any way I can like provide like suppressive fire?
With your pistol?
Well, it's a semi-auto pistol, right? And like I'm never gonna hit anything, but if I just spray bullets in their direction, and am I
If you
gonna
had a like an automatic weapon, yeah. But
Damn, I need an automatic weapon.
yes, give the guy who doesn't know how to shoot a gun like an AK-47. That'd be great.
Hey, man.
You can, I mean, you could use it to intimidate people, but no, suppressive fire does require a little bit heavier ammo flow than your gun is currently capable of emitting. But the group you approach is carrying you, I mean, you're walking out in the open, making it obvious you're well armed and well armored. You're way better armored than they are. And plus, like, if these guys are wearing vac suits out here, they're obviously conscious of not getting like exposed, so they're gonna be afraid of getting shot at anyway. And when you get within visual range, when they can see you, one of them puts his hand up and waves. And they all kind of like, the other two still have their guns up, but they're not pointing them at you. They're just like kind of at the
I
ready.
do the same. I wave and approach.
Okay. So they're at a they're not like under the swan song. They're not like playing with it or anything. They're nearish to it. Yeah, as you approach, you get a like a request to link comms. You're still outside of
Except.
visual range, but yeah, you can see them, but you can't see their face or anything. Okay, so there's a voice in your headset, someone is like a male voice. He says, "We were sure that those bugs got you. What are you doing here? Are you scientists?"
We are here to deliver a personnel, actually, but what are you doing with our ship?
Hey, we was just looking. We're not trying to start nothing or anything. Just ship lands here. It's been a while. We wanted to come over and see who it belonged to.
The station was in distress and has been deserted. What happened there?
I don't know. There was an explosion, I guess, some weeks ago. We generally steer clear of this place.
Oh, my webcam is lagging.
I think it's fixed now.
Yeah, you're okay
Okay.
now.
Okay.
It caught
I
up.
don't know. where are you guys from? Are you with a scientist group?
So someone else on the channel laughs. There's like a deep, like male voice that laughs, and then the other guy's like, "Shut up, Valentine." Yeah, no, we're not scientists. We live here, I guess, technically.
Where do you fucking live?
So you can't. This is just Sicarian's the only one that can hear this.
Oh.
So yeah, thanks. Sorry,
Oh.
sorry, sorry.
I'm reading lips. I'm saying it to myself. Like, what?
Right.
As they say this, I
mean, you guys are
break
getting
calm.
closer as you talk. Yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned to them. I say they say that they live here. They don't know what happened to the scientists, but be on guard. They seem friendly, but it doesn't. This could turn sour pretty quick.
I just kind of nod.
So as we approach, do we see anything more on them, like vac suit insignias, anything like that? How well armed
They're
are they?
yeah, so their suits are like a dull kind of olive drab. They seem to come from like an army surplus or something. They have like patch marks where the patches would be, and they've obviously been removed. Each of them has like on their breast pocket, they do have a like a name. You see the names. The guy talking to you, it says Sato on it. Another one of the, like the taller of the three has one that says Sing, like S-I-N-G-H. And then the third, the shortest of the three, there says Chioma. And Sato like walks towards you as you as you're approaching, and he looks and he seems to notice for the first time that you're the only one like fully kitted out, and he's like, "Shit, your friends don't have vac suits."
No, they do not.
What?
Why did you call your friend Valentin, but he's wearing a vac suit for someone else?
Oh, because Valentin's his first name, man. I'm Nikhil, and he like walks up and like puts his big like glovy hand out to like shake your hand.
I don't shake it.
All right, he awkwardly kind of puts it down. He's like, "Man, that's some shit hot hardware. Are you mercenaries or?"
No, I'm a cook.
He nods. He's like, "All right, man. All right. Yeah, your friends are gonna want to get inside like pretty soon. The air around here is not good."
Appreciate the advice.
His friend, the big guy, you hear on comms, he says something in Russian, and Nikhil, like Sato, is like, "Shut up, Valentin. Big guy wants to know if your ship's in flying condition."
"We're in need of refueling, but yes, it does fly."
"Need fuel, eh? Hmm. Well," and he kind of like looks around. "I'm sorry. Hold on." And he like fiddles with something on his equipment, and you hear like a crackling and then like kind of a feedback noise, and then all of you can hear that he's like outputting his comms onto like a little shoulder like amp, so you guys can hear it. He's like, "Sorry, that was rude. And he like kind of waves awkwardly in this big like lumpy kind of 60s spacesuit. He's like, I'm Nikhil. Big guy there's Valentin. That's Helena," and he points to the short one. She kind of like up nods as best as you can in a helmet. And he's like, "Yeah, we got a facility, I guess, just over the ridge that way. When we saw the locusts come down, we figured y'all were fucked. So, finders keepers, right? I mean, you're not, so that's great. This is obviously your ship and stuff. So, you know," and he kind of like just shrugs, like, "Everything's okay, right? Like, we're just curious."
"Yes. That's fine. We'll be leaving fairly soon, so."
"Yeah, if they can get us fuel, then."
"Sure.
I mean, we'd do the same in the same situation."
"Do you say that, Victor?"
Kind of under my breath, like maybe to Higgs or something like that. I'd be like, we'd do exactly the same thing. If they can get us fuel and off this rock, they're good by me."
"Ah, okay." I kind of overhear that, I guess, and I'd look at him and say, "Do you happen to have fuel handy?"
"Yeah, see, that's the thing, man. Maybe, but it's kind of an emergency supply, so we're reluctant, I suppose, to part with it."
"Sure.
I mean, hey, why don't y'all come back over to our base over that way, and we'll all hang out, have a drink. We could talk about fuel there, if you want."
"Oh, that's very nice of you to offer, but we're not interested in hanging out. We're just looking to secure fuel and leave, so."
All right. All business. I get it, military man. Sure. I mean, we don't have, like, a proper landing pad or nothing over there. It's more of a storage facility, I guess. So we could go and get you some fuel, but it's going to be a while.
You said you're not going to part with it.
Well, I mean, if you're going to pay us, we could give it to you, but we got to negotiate, right?
Sure. How much for the fuel?
Well, see, that's the thing, isn't it? Because I'm kind of like sentimentally attached to the fuel and everything. So how much you got?
Are you sentimentally attached to any repair equipment?
The big guy says something in Russian, and he feels like, "It's not very nice, man." And he says something else in Russian. He's like, "Yeah, I don't know. Fuck you, shut up." And he turns around, and Valentin takes like a half step forward and kind of like lifts his gun a little bit, but not like threateningly. Like, he just kind of like looks like he's shifting it. And then Nikhil is like, "What kind of repairs you need?"
Victor?
You know what? Friends, I don't think we need anything from you. I think we need you to leave.
Valentin says something in Russian, and Nikhil doesn't respond this time. And he like turns his helmet, because it's got like a mirrored plate, you can't see his face, so he turns his helmet kind of back and forth and looks at you, and he's like, yeah, I don't really see it that way, man. I think you do need us. This thing, and he points, he's like, your fuel scoops are fucked, and I know your tank's on empty. You want to leave this place? We're the only way that's happening. So why don't we just play nice? Come back to our base, we'll have a drink. And he looks at Higgs, he's like, you want to have a drink, right, man? We can all be friends.
I do
a little business.
I calm the group and just say, it sounds like we're going back with them. I don't trust them. There's a really good chance we'll just need to kill them and take what they have. But let's see if they are truly friendly first.
I calm back. I don't like getting blackmailed, Carrion.
I just laugh.
I don't think we have a choice.
So for the first time, the woman of the group, Helena, comes over the comms, and she's like, have you been inside?
Yes.
Is there anyone alive?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
There's a pause. She says something in Russian to the big guy. Big guy says something back to her in Russian. They have a short conversation, and then she says, we should check.
We could check after. We need to get fuel to complete our mission and leave. What you do with that facility after we leave is your business.
Is there anyone else on your ship?
Nope.
That doesn't...
I'm just
we'll
like,
excuse him.
No. And immediately when he says it, I just like start putting the bottle up.
I was just talking to my bourbon. Yep.
Yeah, the bourbon at... please, Mr. S, as you were.
Nobody else... Or there is somebody else. It doesn't matter. That's not your concern. You made it clear. We need you to get off the ship or this planet. So we're willing to go back and hear your deal.
Nikhil says, okay, man, just 1 second. We got to talk about this. The comm flips off and you can see them talking. Like they're moving their hands and stuff. It's not a like highly animated conversation, but you have a minute if you guys want to talk privately as well. They seem to be debating what the next step is here.
I just mentioned that there was fuel still in the station.
Well, we sort of thought maybe we could get some from under where the docking bay had collapsed, but there was no guarantee.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Like, we don't know how many more of them there are. Like, maybe there's just 3, but maybe there's 12.
Maybe there is.
They are clearly not playing nice, right? Like they're trying to send us through the ringer, you know, get whatever they can out of us.
Ask. We should ask the scientist if any of the names on the jumpsuits are familiar to him.
We should actually ask them. We should tell them that we did find one body in there with a hologram. And that he had a name tag on him, and his name was Dr. Saeed. And we should see how they react.
I like both your ideas. Let's do it on the walk back.
Okay.
But someone calm Saeed and ask him about these names.
Yeah.
Pandy, you do that. I'll tell them.
We do exactly that. Sato, the other guy, and the other guy.
Sing Helena and Valentine.
Yes. Sato, Singh, and Valentin is Singh's first name.
Yeah.
Chioma. The third person. Yeah, it's the woman. So you're like, Dr. Sid, do you recognize any of these names?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a long hesitation. And then he says, no, I do not know any of these people.
Ask him about people that live on the planet. It was our understanding it was the scientists and the aliens. There weren't people living here.
You want to ask him that, Sakarian, or you want to have someone else do that?
I guess I do, yeah.
Okay, all right. He says, officially, No one lives on this planet except for the Vaad. It's sovereign territory. But, of course, this far from the sector core, smugglers, fugitives on the run from various law organizations, it's a hidden place for the most part. So anyone could be here. I would not trust them if I were you.
Fuck, we don't even know if we can trust this guy. Like, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I still think we go with them and assess the situation then, because the other option is a possibility of oil being found or fuel being found underneath a collapsed platform, which means we abandon the ship and leave it exposed to these people. So we have to go.
Are you going to tell Dr. Said that you're going to leave him here?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean,
as we start walking, I'm going to go like step up next to Chioma, Helena.
Yeah.
The one who asked if there was anybody alive.
She's sort of separated from the conversation. It seems like Valentin and Nikhil are arguing about something now, and Helena has taken a few steps away and is just like looking at the base with her arms folded and her guns like slung across her back now.
You know what? I'm just going to like stretch as I walk over to her. I'm going to rub my chest and sort of cough and say, "Yeah, it is. Air out here is really pretty bad, isn't it? Listen, you wanted to go take a look inside. You're looking for survivors? Somebody? What are you? Can I ask what you're looking for? Maybe I can help you. We saw a bunch of weird shit in there."
So she turns her head, and like I said, their helmets have like a hex kind of map, like polarized filter, so that you can't see their face. Mm-hmm. And she looks over at you, and hers kind of like fades, and so you can see her face for the first time. Mm-hmm. She's probably like biologically like in her 50s. She's like white-ish, kind of like beige colored. And she kind of like squints at you, and she's like, "Something bad happened here. I just wanted to make sure that." And she kind of shrugs. "If there are people alive, I want them to stay that way, I suppose. Seems like common courtesy."
"Oh, yeah. We didn't find any signs of life. We did find one guy. It's sad, actually. He had a some sort of opera recording. Must have been listening to it when he offed himself. We found a name tag on him, Dr. S something. Said, I think."
She kind of looks at you and there's no like obvious recognition on her face. Mm-hmm.
Can I use perception to see if there's any like secret recognition?
Wow.
Is that what kind of a skill is that? Perception.
It'll be wisdom.
I think it's science. You just use,
It's not.
It's perception with wisdom in this case because you're trying to read a person's
it's
emotions.
It's not charisma.
No, you can't perceive things. No.
I re-roll that.
She hates you. Okay, now she does. Nope, she doesn't. She definitely doesn't recognize the name. So there's just like a blank, and she shakes her head. She's like, "No, I mean, that's a shame and everything, but we figured this happens to bases all the time," and she gestures to where the docking bay is. She says, "Digging tunnels for power cables, that kind of thing. They hit one of the Vaad tunnels. They use this natural gas for everything, and the sparks." She puts her hands up, just like, "Failed colonies. These things happen all the time. We just wanted to come and see if anyone was alive."
"The Vaad use natural gas for everything?"
She nods.
"Interesting. No, listen, we didn't see any signs of life. Maybe once we get this situation sorted out, don't worry too much about my friend. He's a little trigger happy. If things work out and we're all on good terms, maybe I could come help you explore the place a little bit more fully once we're all done. I'm still pretty curious about what happened here. I know my companions, you know, they don't have the scientific spirit exactly. Well,
so it sounds to me like you're trying to like kind of earn her trust or whatever, like get her on your side. Okay, why don't you roll a persuade? Now you can add your charisma. This is a charisma roll.
I'm not trained in persuade. Damn it.
Good job. All right. She's still very suspicious of you. She kind of like, she sort of looks squinty for a second, and then her like polarized shield like goes back on, and she kind of turns around.
I run my hand through my hair and I go, women.
Yes. All right. So the guys finish their conversation in Russian, and Valentin walks over to where you are, Sakari, and he like comes like fairly close to you. Mm-hmm. Kind of like looks at you. How tall are you?
I'm actually, let me check to make sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm not that impressive. I am. Oh, it doesn't actually say here. He's like 6 foot.
Okay. Yeah, so the guy's only a little taller than you, but he's quite bulky. You can see that this suit, like, obviously is for a smaller, like, person. Like, the seams are, like, kind of stretched. But he's not trying to intimidate you. Like, he doesn't get up in your shit. But he, like, comes close and, like, looks you up and down. And then he says, okay. And he gestures over his shoulder. You come to the base now.
They can't see my face or anything like that, but I nod.
Okay. Yeah, you can see motion. All right, so you all start to trek back that direction. Nikhil is, like, leading you. You notice Nikhil and Valentin are not speaking anymore. Like, Helena says something to both of them. Like, they have these, like, short conversations in Russian, but neither of them are willing to speak to each other. They talk to her, and then she talks to the other. So everyone who isn't Mr. Sakarian, I need you to make a physical effect save, please.
That's D20 plus... something?
No, just D20. And you need expert.
Is this for vac suits? Because I was wearing a vac suit.
Okay. If you have one on, if you're sealed from the environment, then you're good. You can just ignore it.
It's just exposure
to the smog.
Ha!
Did you roll a 5?
Yep.
Ouch. I rolled a fucking 20.
Awesome.
Oh my god.
Not only are you okay with the smog, but you like light 2 cigars on the way.
You're like, this is fantastic.
I'm dipping one end into the bourbon.
Just like Planet Georgia back home.
Yeah.
You're fine, man. You intentionally smoke more than this planet can handle. But yeah, Kovacs, by the time you get to their base, you're like pretty winded. You're having trouble breathing. So maybe make a note that like until you get a chance to rest, like if you have to do any like sprinting or like heavy physical exertion, it's going to cause you problems. So keep that in mind, and I'll hit you with that later. So you guys, you come over a rocky like ridge, and down in a like hidden, not really hidden, but like protected by a valley of rock where the sand has all kind of been blown out. There is a series of small buildings that surround what looks like it was originally like a landed cargo ship. It's basically just like a big box with engines on the back. But the cargo ship has been retrofitted. The engines have been taken off. The whole thing has been retrofitted to be a facility now. So it's like they landed here, took the ship apart as like a permanent base. And there are several like storage silos kind of nestled in the shadow between the two ridges. And you guys are up at the top of one, and you can see... like a walkway that leads down into the valley. And you stop at the edge of the ridge, and Valentin says kind of to no one, he's like, "Is home," and starts off down the path.
I follow.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're all following.
So Nikhil waits at the top of the ridge until you're all on the path and then follows behind you. So you've got Valentin in the front, and then right behind him is Helena, and then the rest of you, and then Valentin. And then Nikhil. And it's like quite a like guarded walk down. Like they keep like checking over their shoulders. And you pick up, Sakarian, you pick up like radio. Like there's an active channel down here, but it's encrypted. So you just get like weird little like blips that let you know there is a channel, but you can't read it. And just based on like what you know about like encrypted channels and stuff, they're probably using the channel, but they'd be sub-vocalizing, so they're just like whispering or whatever to communicate with somebody in the base. So it takes another like 15 minutes to get down there, and by this time the sun is sort of starting to set. It's been like an hour or so, and you get I think all of you on your comm get like a kind of like delayed, like maybe not all of you get it right away, you get it different times, like a text message from the ship that is like it's Saeed, and he's like, "Where are you?"
I reply, "Saeed, this is Mr. Sakarian. We're taking care of business. It's really none of your business."
Okay.
Truth.
Yeah, he just replies, "I will stay here then. Tell me when it's safe."
Very good.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you guys get down into the valley and get led towards the main formerly Starship building, and you can see there's like a big lock. There's a like a metal like a piece of like sheet metal that's been like riveted to a post that just says "Home Sweet Home" on it, like spray painted in white letters. Along the path leading up to the door, there are pairs of like empty boots. There's probably like a dozen of them, just like sitting along the path.
Yeah, I just mutter to everybody, "I told you, I fucking told you."
You guys keep your boots outside, do you?
Valentin says to you, he's like, he shakes his head. He's like, "No, this is not my boots."
Yes, Valentin, I was joking. Who are the dead people?
He says, he shrugs and says, "Intruder."
I do a James Spader laugh. Okay.
All right. So you get to the door, and this is the first time that Nikhil says anything. He's like, "You have to go through the biofilter first." And the door opens, it kind of like iris is open. There's like a little airlock inside, and you can see there's like metal rails with like tubing running along them.
I'll go with you guys.
He says, "Room enough for everybody," and they all go in.
Yeah, we all go on.
Okay, all right. So they go into the lock. The door closes behind them. And I guess to Higgs and Victor, Helena like turns and looks at you because you don't have the vac suits on. She's like, "This is gonna get a little hot." And then like a yellow like light starts turning on, and you can hear it's like being on the inside of like a car wash. You hear like some steam vent somewhere, and then on the rails, basically you get hosed with like cleansing foam first. And then, yeah, like scalding hot water just like sprays all over you.
I don't
you.
Move at all, and I just keep a dead lock at her eyes. And then after it's done, I'm just like, "Lady, this happens more than you'd like to know."
Victor is kind of shrieking and like covering himself and dancing in the corner.
And then after it's done as well, I take a swig of the bourbon and offer it to her.
Okay, it kind of tastes like soap a little bit.
No, I covered the top. I put my thumb on the top.
All right. The label's all peeling off.
Yeah.
Along with your skin. So you guys are like kind of red and like a little abraded. And then lastly, before all the like water and stuff goes away, there's a beam of light, like one of these like a array of lasers that kind of like covers the room. And seems to scan you. And then there's a pinging sound, and the yellow light turns green, and the front door ahead of you opens up. It's a little early, but let's take our second break here, because I want to jump into the next bit, you know, whole hog.
Cool.
Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good. All right, we'll take a break, then we'll come back and go into hour 3 right after this. We'll see you guys soon.